Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 86 of the Padawan Unlimited podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast and YouTube channel. I'm your host, Gil, who is going to gently remind you to remember to like, subscribe, and tell your friends. And speaking of friends, I have two of them with me, Rob and Corey. How are you guys doing?
Hello there.
Hey.
Today is a very interesting day, I think, because we had a live stream come from FFG. And they had some gameplay for the new set Law. We're going to dig in the main segment today about being rotation ready, rotation preparation. I think I just feel a lot of excitement from the community, just in general. People are even buying up cards. We could talk about that in the collection segment. So really excited. But before we get to the segments, I want to do some logistical announcements. The first announcement is that if you haven't listened to episode 85, we are giving away a Palpatine game mat from the Sector Qualifiers. I'm showing it on the screen right now. So for those of you who are not watching on the YouTube and you're listening to the podcast, fill out the form. I want to give this away. You know, this mat looks pretty good to me. Hopefully you... I lost my headphones for a second. Hopefully we have one lucky winner and you thoroughly enjoy the mat. You know, we love to give stuff away. The other piece of logistics we'll talk about is I'm going to pivot over to Corey for some information on the Padawan Unlimited League second tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing another tournament for our Padawan Unlimited League, and Discord server is where you'll get most of the info. We have a channel dedicated to the league, and in that channel, there's a pinned comment on some of the details of the league and what you can expect. So this time around, all commons again, so no... special card rarities, no uncommons, rares, legendaries. That includes leaders and bases. And it's only going to be sets 4, 5, and 6. So a little bit of a rotation ready prep here for the next set coming out when we rotate in March. So definitely sign up. We're going to be doing signups on Discord and Google Forms so we know what interest we're getting. And then we'll have the Melee form for you guys up as soon as possible once we get a good idea of where we're at. So look for that this week as well. And then we hope to start on Sunday of this coming Sunday.
So deck lists and all that stuff. I'll be doing deck checks and all that in the background, running all the logistics with you guys once we get all the Melee stuff up and running. So if you just have them ready for us, guys, and I'll make sure everything's good to go.
I'm gonna say on or around Sunday because I am traveling, and there's a lot of I also want to give time to people who are, you know, not everyone listens to an episode each week. They might sometimes have a 2-week delay, so we want to give enough time, and then also just to collect buy-ins. So there are buy-ins so that we could provide prizing. And the prizing, last time was like Galactic Championship promotional cards. This time it's going to be sector and regional promo cards. If I actually get the regional promo cards in from Bilbao, it's been probably, you know, half a year at this point. Look forward to that. Help the entry fee essentially pays for like shipping and some of these cards and stuff like that. Right. So hopefully you have actually good EV on your return. Plus, really fun. If you have the cheapest deck, you get a special promo card. You get a special card as well. So,
yes.
Absolutely. So, again, if you, unfortunately, we have to use Discord. It's just the easiest way to manage it. So, apologies if you're not on that platform and you wanted to participate. We have to try to find a better way to, we want to try to find a way to make that work. Okay, cool. So let's move on to the collection segment. Corey. I know I'm repeating myself. What you got for me?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, we had a FFG stream and they did some reveals. And before that, we even got some reveals. And I do want to point out a couple cards myself. And I definitely want to ask you guys if you have some that you wanted to talk about. But the one that caught my eye the most of the reveals that we got this week was Lats Rizzi.
Yeah.
It's the Vigilance Command, 3 cost, 2/1, but it's got a when played, give a shield token or an experience token to this unit. Then she deals damage equal to her power to an enemy ground unit. So that's like a 2-for-1 there, potentially.
Yep.
And you have the opportunity to choose either the shield or the experience if you need that extra, that power to eliminate maybe a turn one play from your opponent. So this card looks real good. It's Underworld, Bounty Hunter. You're definitely going to be getting value from your, you know, turn two play here.
Yeah, so for those of you who thought that Tarkentown was going away, we just printed it on a different card.
Oh, what about you? You have something, Rob, you wanted to share the card?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited because we're getting Sebulba. So we're getting some pod racing going on this one. So he's our rare red villainous leader. He is a 4-flip leader, 2/5 raid 1 when he flips. And he has an action on both of his sides. Both of his sides are very similar. So on the front side, it's an action. You discard a card from your deck, so just top deck it, it's gone, and you give raid 1 to another unit, and then on his side it's just when you attack you have to discard a card from the top of your deck. To me this is like really cool and thematic, because this is like him racing and like throwing wrenches out of his pod racer to like blow up the guys behind him. So I'm excited for this. I think there's going to be some fun stuff that'll happen with this, and it looks like we did get to some support, which I'll also talk about. We got 000, which is one of Aphra's droids. Mm-hmm. And this one says if you have a red card in your discard on attack, you can put it on the bottom of your deck and deal damage to a base. So we're getting some discard support. I think it's going to be a fun little combo that's going to go on. Red villainous looking good, and the fact that Sebulba's a 4-flip means we're going to have like a Sabine-esque villainous leader that we can start to build around. So excited for that.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go back to, I want to talk about that a little bit more, but let's go back to the Lots Razi card real quick. Sebulba, first of all, is going to be dope.
And I think we called that last week.
I know.
We were hoping it was a Sebulba leader.
No, I know. It's just good call, man. Good call. The colors were not the ones we expected, but it fits the theme, I think. Before we go back to Lots Razi, let's just stick on Sebulba. Rare leader, so it's for limited. He has not much play at this point right now. It feels like he's been a lot of combo-y. But I think his showcase is going to be... I'm going to always bring back the showcase and the market. But I think his showcase is going to be... You think it's going to be hot? You think it's going to be hot?
Yeah, I think so. He's a fun character. And speaking of other showcases, we got another one today that I think is going to be a chase for a lot of people.
As far as Sebulba goes, though, I think that he's... because of the popularity of the character, I don't know. He just like shows up briefly, but people love him. So
yeah.
You get that, and then being an aggro early in the set, I do think he'll be pretty popular because aggro always is king.
Agreed. But the other one that we have officially seen now is Krennic, and boy, howdy, is this a pretty card.
But before I get to Krennic, I want to get back to Lots Razi.
Yeah.
Right. Because that Krennic. This is another set with a Krennic showcase. Krennic leader, and this Krennic does seem good. Which I think it's a green leader. So going back to Lots Razi as the rare, right? It's green. It's a green-blue card, remember. Yeah. So something to think about as before we go over to Krennic, like this card, you mentioned how it's like, you know, reprinting Tarkentown. It seems just very powerful with a when-played ability to give a shield or token and then just deal equal damage with power to something. Just like... It's good to close something or give a shield token. It's just, and it's not locked to villainy or heroism, which is like really good, I think. Green is just like
this could have been a legendary. Absolutely.
I agreed.
I think as a rare, it's probably gonna be at least a couple bucks, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like I can see this hyperspace being in the $6 range. Like if you like early on, I could see it popping that high up to that.
Again, like with all multi-aspects, the only thing that's going to limit it is the fact that it is limited in that regard, but the color combination is pretty popular, and honestly, this is going to be a card that's going to be in every blue-green deck. It's just that good. The only thing that limits it is that you can only hit ground, but aside from that, that's the only limitation. Like,
I mean, if you could play, just ground, just defeat something, right? That's cool. Which again, so now speaking of green, Krennic showcase is straight, looks good.
Oh, yeah, it does. It looks so good. The galactic map in the background, like, it's, you know, it reminds me of, like, you actually commented on it last night, Gil, when we were playing at our locals, but it reminds me a little bit of the Piet showcase, where the Piet showcase has, like, the Death Star kind of, like, looming in the background, and it's this really nice kind of set piece, and this has a very similar feel, but it just looks really good.
It's not the Death Star in the background?
I think it is. I thought it was like a galactic map, but I could be wrong.
It probably is a galactic map of some sort. Well, I just can't tell. It looks like there's
I don't know if it's a Death Star. I think,
yeah, it looks like a galactic map. In
scenes with a bunch of, like, Death Stars. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's his baby.
Well, it's like, he's definitely trying to protect it, you know.
Yeah. That's crazy. But
get another iconic character, though.
I think his showcase is going to be, what do we think it's going to be?
Krennic. Well, I think Krennic is a cool leader, and getting to see some gameplay today from it was pretty, like, interesting. I could see this being definitely in the over the $100 range for sure, but maybe I'm going to go with around 130-ish.
I think 130? You're lowballing it, man. I think you're lowballing
really?
It. Yeah, I think he might be we haven't seen all the leaders yet, but he feels like he's one of the single strongest leaders in villainy right now. Like, to me, up there with Lando. I think those two, in terms of playability, are going to be our two top. I mean, we might see something else that just blows these out of the water because we still have more leaders to reveal. But right now, to me, these are neck and neck. I think these are going to be like the $200 range. Okay. And don't forget, we're getting limited. We're also getting fewer of these because it's more
true,
the pull rate
point.
Is now more limited in the carbonites,
right? Oh yeah, the amount of restriction that they're putting for showcases, it's like spreading out the it's actually gonna be kind of hard to get them again, like
easy. It's not, there's no guarantees, like if you bought a box you're disappointed when you didn't get one now. It's like, oh, you gotta work for a little bit.
Which, yep, I'm sorry, by the way, for anyone who has bought, like, a lot of carbs or like, boxes of product and has not, like, pulled a showcase. I know that happens. I'm sorry. So hopefully this set is the set you get your showcases.
And this one, if it's a $200 one or Orlando, that's great. Yep, I'm curious to see. This is definitely the new Palpatine, I guess, if you're in that Palpatine. If you like that play style, defeating your own stuff, getting things. That's cool.
Getting them credits.
Reno's the artist.
Yeah.
It's a rare leader.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a 150. I'm going to split the difference. It's going to settle around 150. Mm. Like, that's where I think it's going to settle. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Initial spikes will be there, and then...
Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on if it wins something.
I remember Asajj Ventress was going for like $300 when it first came out, the pilot Asajj Ventress. Now it's worth like 40. And someone probably bought it at that point. Which is like crazy to me. So like, or I'm like a mall, like the Twilight Mall, like $400 or something. I think I saw a sale for that much. So I think these will settle for sure. But like, it's gonna be pretty good, pretty strong.
I don't know. I still disagree on that one, Gil. Just because, like, here's the thing. Like, think about it right now. Like, Sabe is a $250 showcase right now, and it's at a higher pull rate. And it's probably taking up, well, we'll talk about it later, but it's taking up less of a share in the overall meta right now. That's 250. She's rising in popularity, and I think a lot of people are hedging there, but that's a $250 showcase. If we don't think that with less, you know, less of them in circulation plus high playability is not going to drive this price up, I'd be in shock, honestly.
That's a fair point. I think it's a fair point, which also, I don't know if anyone's noticed the trends. I was talking with someone last night about this very briefly. They mentioned how a lot of SEC price, like prices for Seekers of Power, like for cards, has been going up overall. Mm-hmm. Like, so one of the things that's going to be driving this conversation that we talk about in the main segment about preparing for a rotation, like people are already doing it. And like the prices are already rising for cards, which is, for if you're an investor or someone who's like that, like, you know, wants to like kind of flip cards, like that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like it's a pretty solid market move for you. I do want to talk about, are there any, based on the cards we revealed, and we didn't talk about them all today, there are some combinations of some good cards, that, like, particularly around villainy, red and yellow, like a lot of discard stuff. Are there any showcases or any leaders in the past sets 4 through 6 that maybe think of one or two that you think or you're targeting to play. I'll go first because I think that, like, while I give you guys the time to think, I have two leaders that I'm looking into right now. One of them is Luke Pilot. Luke Pilot leader just seems strong. The fact that you can, like, potentially get him out really early and then, like, you can't defeat him as a leader and he's just swinging base and doing damage is just, like, bonkers to me, which I think is very powerful. Nigh unbeatable. I was kidding. No, but he's, like, really good. So that's a showcase and a leader I'm targeting, I think, in terms of collection, any of that support. And I think the other leader, and someone actually convinced me about this, like, subtly in our Discord, is Admiral Trench. Admiral Trench seems like it's like a $30 showcase right now, and he has a lot of discard, like, that's his ability. He just, like, discards cards and, like, you get to pull stuff and he always comes out. Like, you can't ever get rid of Admiral Trench. He's like a phoenix that rises from the ashes. And with all the discard, the ability for cards now to put cards back into your deck is, like, really good for Trench now, because now he just, like, burn you over time and get cards back, and you have to deal with that, you know. And there's, like, you know, and getting, like, single target removal is not as, you know, as big a thing in rotation. So I think that Trench, those are two leaders that I think in terms of showcase or collection that I'm trying to procure. Actually, I got the Trench. I need to get a Luke Skywalker though.
Yeah, no, I think with regards to that, always being able to come out, like, Bail Organa also has that ability, and I've seen something, like, he's really good too, because he can cycle through his resources as well. And so I was, like, looking at him, and he's got a pretty good, I think, ability there, because he's cheap. He comes out so quick, and he just keeps coming out. And so there's those moments it's easy to forget that he's coming out, and then, like, you kill him, but then he just comes right back out the next turn, or, like, oh, like, I'm safe, like, there's nothing else they can do. Oh, Bail flips, and now it hits you for three, and it's like, oh, and then all the plots. Those are the, like, him, I think, is going to be interesting next set. And then my other one that I think is going to come back in a little bit, but there's Talzin. I think Talzin could I like a lot of the yellow cards we're getting, so I want to see Vigilance and Cunning come back. Talzin
also is one of the few yellow villainy, is one of the only ways to ambush out Vader. You know, Shin Flurry. Shin Flurry, but also the Deceptive Shade card.
Shade.
Right? And the value there is just, like, really good. So yellow villainy with force, particularly, just seems, like, strong. So. Okay, no, I you know, Bail is actually on my target list, but I already have a Bail showcase. I pulled it at a pre-release. I was like, heck yeah, I'm definitely gonna like lean in on that a little bit. But what you got? What do you have, Rob?
You saw at least one of mine, because I've been kind of high on Trench, and I don't think that he was quite there yet, but I saw the potential. I saw the potential with him kind of, like, post Galactics, particularly with, like, his discard ability, things kind of coming back, and then post rotation, I think he should be interesting. With plot being revealed, the fact that you can flip multiple times, now you can really take advantage of plot. I think that's something that, you know, we've kind of undervalued with his leader ability up until now. So that was one that I actually have previously picked up. I got him around, like, I think 40-50 bucks. He's lower now, but I wouldn't be surprised if he goes up. And then the other one I've been targeting is Sabe. I just do think that she's a very strong leader, and post rotation, I don't think she's the new Han, quote unquote. I think that's probably goes to, like, Lando, but I think her ability is very, very strong. Being able to craft your opponent's deck and, like, what they get has been, I think, is really, 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 really strong. And just, like, again, it's big brain, right? Like, you're sitting there going, like, okay, which one of these do I give him? I was doing this last night. I'm like, okay, which one of these do I give back to my opponent? Like, last night I was playing against a Han Green. It's like, I drew up, he had like a Fast Falcon, or the two that I got was, like, Fast Falcon and U-wing reinforcement. I was like, huh, I don't want him to get either of these. But like, which was the more dangerous one? It was at that point in where he was in his curve, the U-wing was more dangerous. So I discard the U-wing, put that one back on. And again, these are the things you got to think about with her, but I think her potential is really strong.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for sure. Sabe, especially with the support you're getting with green and yellow in this upcoming set so far, just seems really good. I agree. I think she's going to be a very good leader to invest in if you so desire. The showcase is already high. Like, people are with you, problem. Man. So, for sure. Before I move on, any final things, Corey, you want to talk about collection?
Not too much. Just want to, you know, Rob, you have something that you...
Oh, I do. I do. Just, all I'm saying is, guys, just prepare for some Max Rebo supremacy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that later on, but yeah, we'll definitely get there because there's some interesting stuff we got. And we got to see him on stream too. Be pretty cool.
Yeah, Max Rebo, the new card. So we have, which we didn't really talk about on this one, on this episode, or a couple moments ago, but we will get into more in depth in just a few moments.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the meta segment. What do you got, Rob?
Well, we had an interesting week. So this is our first week post the Mesa regionals, sectors. Regionals is coming up in a month, and you know our numbers have changed a little bit, but we're still seeing a lot of the standards. So we have our top leader and base combinations are still Yoda, Data Vault, Han 2 ECL, Piet Red, and Cad Bane Tarkin Town. Now we did see Han 2 Blue sneaking in, as well as in terms of overall numbers. Now these were like the top five represented across all the PQs.
Han 2 Blue?
Han 2 Blue Force, yeah.
Oh, Han 2 Blue. Sorry, sorry. I was thinking Han 1 in my head. I was like, Han 1 Blue, it's just not good. I mean, it's fine, but like Han 2 Blue, Han 2 Blue, for sure is like it's so strong.
Yeah, but you know, and those were the most represented, right? Okay, so when you look at this, we've got Yoda Data Vault, it's strong. Han 2 ECL, it's strong. These guys have high conversion rates in the 30%. Again, getting into top eights, overall win rates above 50% into like the 52 to 55%. I think these actually might be around 56%. Actually, now I'm looking at it, around 56%. Which again, when you're talking about percentages, it doesn't sound like a lot, but that means you're converting at, you know, you're winning games at a 2-to-1 rate, or this deck is winning games at a 2-to-1 rate, roughly. And a little bit more than that with that 6%, and that starts to tweak it up. And then you're seeing things like, but you're still seeing Cad Bane come in. It's very popular. Again, this was when we talk about from week to week as the meta shifts and adjust to the meta from the previous week, we see an increase in Cad Bane because it was the top deck. It played well into Han 2 ECL. And so we're seeing a lot of, you know, reaction to that. Now, what's interesting is that conversion rate for Cad Bane went down, and overall, Han 2 and Yoda were slightly less represented. But now what we're seeing is a rise in Han 1 Yellow, unsurprisingly. It won the sector.
So I want to go back to the Cad Bane piece. It's interesting because you mentioned how... the conversion rates went down. I think, you know, we have to think about context when it comes to some of these meta decks, right? One of the reasons I think it did so well in Mesa, and, you know, if you want a really in-depth but like relatively short meta report, go to the McClunky gaming stream channel. They do a weekly report now that's like 15 minutes. And they really dive into some numbers. They really dive into what they, you know, what they talk about for meta. But I will say, and they made a good point, was that like at Mesa, it was like their instant reaction week to Han 2.
Yeah.
And a lot of good top players like were playing that deck, right? So we've, you know, top players in the world are essentially were switched to Cad Bane Tarkin Town for whatever, like from what they usually play, and they succeeded. And so, you know, it is skewed in the sense that, like, yeah, the numbers should go down because a lot of those good players aren't playing in, like, PQs right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe they are, but like it's probably not. It's probably not close to them, right? And so everyone who's playing Cad Bane, Tarkin, I'm sure they're great players, but they're not like the top. You know what I mean? And so I'm not surprised that Cad Bane rates have gone down. And this is something you need to keep. We need to keep in mind. You know, like if you are going to prepare for a tournament or whatever, and you see this, like there's context you have to be aware of that helps you drive your decision. Like, should I prepare my deck for this matchup, or do I not worry about it? You know what I mean? Like this helps you make that decision.
Oh yeah, no, 100%.
Wanted to interject.
Yeah, no. And Cad Bane, Tarkin Town, as you pointed out, Gil, is kind of what I would call a reactionary deck almost. Again, it's not a hard counter, but it has a good win rate into Hantu ECL, which has been one of the top decks that's been out there. So, you know, again, when you have something, this is, to your point, this was a lot of top players reacting to it and trying to counter the meta. Seeing it drop off, not surprised, because it got kind of stomped out, or Hantu got not stomped out, but got, you know, tamped down a little bit because of the popularity of Cad Bane. And then the Cad Bane win rates went down because it has bad matchups into the other stuff that came in. But the other thing that's interesting is we're starting to see rises in the top placers from both from Mesa and the winners from Mesa now starting to come in. So we're seeing Han won yellow, Kylo Data Vault and Sabe Tarkin Town are now starting to kind of rise in popularity and show up there. But in general, what's kind of crazy is you know, we've talked about it in terms of like overall meta health, and you know, I know you guys have some opinions on this too, but I think the meta is, like, when I say healthy, there's a wide variety. You can kind of play whatever you want. It's the Wild West. If you are you know, if you have a deck and you're confident in it, you got the reps, like, take it out there. As long as you think it's going to go against, like, you know, there are going to be things that you're going to see. You're going to see Yoda Data Vault. You're going to see Hantu ECL. You're going to see, you know, Piet Red, even though it's not converting. And if you can play well into those and you think you got it, go for it, because there is no, there's no boogeyman deck right now.
Yeah. I mean, even this, sorry, go ahead, Corey.
No, I was going to say, are we still, like, from your research here, Rob, are we still seeing like a domination in hero victories at these PQs and stuff? Is that where most of these like wins are coming from?
Yeah, I mean, like our winners are still up there with, like, when you look at it, it's, you know, it's Yoda Data Vault, it's Hantu Green, it's, you know, even Han 1 Green, which has seen a dip, is still up there and still consistently placing. The only one that's really like starting to take things outside of this is like Kylo. It's not really, it hasn't taken very many, but it's placing consistently, is Kylo Data Vault. We're also seeing Cad Bane, Tarkin Town, but the majority of the representation in terms of top eight finishes and winners has been heroic for the most part.
Yeah, but again, not to disparage villainy players, but like, I mean, no, Corey's the one, but your boy Palp, Colossus, I think it was his Colossus,
yeah, he
Palp
did
Blue,
take that one.
Won a 48 player planetary qualifier in Manchester, which is pretty good. That that Palp can take it down. I mean, Palp in itself is just like always a good deck. Like, you're gonna get wins. It's a little thinky. Like, you need to really like grind. But if you have the ability to do that, like you're
Palp well. is like one of my favorites, obviously, and I've been playing a lot of Palp Yellow recently. But I do think you need to get a certain like field of like play there. If you don't get the right like run up to like, it's gonna be tougher, I think.
Yeah.
So you do need to get a little lucky with
Palp. Do we think the meta is kind of stabilized for now? Like I don't think
for the most part, like, we're not getting too many surprises. We know Sabe's coming up. We're seeing Kylo's coming up. But then you have all the Hans, the Yodas, and you get a little bit of the hard control decks like Palpatine and maybe both Palpatines, you know. Let's see.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're getting too many other surprises, although we have seen some top eights from Padme, so.
Yeah, there was one surprise that I thought was really interesting. It was, and it took down one of the bigger PQs we have this weekend. This is the, if you listen to the meta report, this also showed up on my radar too when I was doing research. It was a Sabine But it was Sabine Tarkentown, so double red Sabine, took down a really big tournament. I forget which one, but it was over 120 players.
Yeah, he won that one last year too.
Yeah. But really, really interesting deck construction. Just a really, really kind of unique deck. It took down a pretty wide field and did not have a cupcake run. It had to take down a lot of big name decks. So shout outs to the guys running that one, because that was a surprise.
Yeah, I think for me, that guy, or I'm assuming guy, my apologies, actually, I should not assume, that this person, I think it's Osmium Blaze.
Yep.
If they took it down last time, this is like a deck that I feel like only they can pilot. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like they know, like they're literally the person that has like thousands and thousands of matchups, and they really fine tune like this deck, and they know every single line. Cause like you could try to pick this up and people like rag on aggro a lot sometimes. Cause it's like, oh, it's so finky. Just go. Like, I don't know, man. Like especially double red Sabine to be successful like twice in a row is not a mistake. You know what I mean? That's
watching him pilot this thing is really cool. Like, just because like you're like looking at it and it's like, there's no way this guy's got this game. And then he pulls it out and he's playing these things that just you're not thinking about. It's like, wow,
he dropped one game the entire day. 10 rounds. One game, I think. Yeah, I'm looking at his record right now. What? That's wild. That means he's good. Like there's no questioning, right?
Yeah, like you said, it's not like once is like, okay, he got lucky. Twice is no, there's something there. We can't deny it anymore.
Yeah, but that's a good pull. That's a good pull, Rob. Thank you for mentioning that.
Definitely.
You
know? Yeah, no, that was just a wild, wild deck. It's kind of crazy to see these one-offs. So, but that was kind of to the point that I was making earlier. It's like, look, if you are confident in your game, in your deck, and you're confident in the lines, you know it. Like, this is the time to kind of do that stuff, because I do think, and we can kind of, segue this into the next segment. I do think that, with the upcoming rotation, this is the time to kind of get your last hurrahs in with the deck you've been brewing. Mm. Know, you're particularly set 1 through 3 leaders. Like if you want to run Palpatine, give him his proper send off and all that kind of stuff. Like this is the time to do it, guys.
Yeah. Oh man. Anything else for the meta? Any other interesting tidbits, do you think? What do you want
to
say?
No, I mean, like I said, for me, I think right now, I've seen this with a lot of people. We're sort of in this weird spot in the cycle where we have some players who are like, if you're tournament prepping and you're getting ready for regionals, that's where your mindset's at. But then we have other players who are just like, yeah, I'm looking at like set 7 now. And particularly with all the spoilers coming in, like anticipating rotation and thinking ahead, like that's where I'm at right now. I just haven't had a lot of time, unfortunately, to kind of get to some of the bigger tournaments. So my brain has gone into this mode and starting to think about what am I going to do for rotation?
I think, that's a good strategy point. Like if you are seriously trying to consider competing, take advantage of the lull and the complacency of the average player.
Yep.
Right. If they are training for rotation, right, and they're not focusing games and time now, you do that. You get the games in, you get the reps in, and you will then be able to succeed because you're going to know your deck more. You're going to know the lines more. You're going to know the opponents. You're going to know what's going on. Now's the time to capitalize while pants are down, metaphorically speaking. I see you. I totally understand that. Okay. So, we have a lot of time left, which is good because we're going into a chunky discussion right now. But what we want to talk about is the rotation. So for this, for me, it's the first time I've ever played a game where their cards rotated. That's not like poker and the games are the cards are reshuffled.
I mean, the cards are the same.
We're getting into parts, guys.
Yeah, I know. I think it was a game called Batra, I think, or something like that. Balatro, that game is so good, by the way. I have downed so many hours. That's why I'm not going to succeed in Milwaukee, because I've burned so many hours.
Oh, no. Did you just find it?
Sam for that.
No. My wife played the game. But no one wants to hear about that. We want to talk about Star Wars. Unlimited specifically. Not that Bantapudu. So rotation. So what's going to happen in March of this year is sets 1 through 3 are going to rotate out. They're going to be no longer playable in the Premier format. They should be available to be played. Excuse me. While my dog barks in the background.
Got to get a cameo from
Basil.
Basil needs to come in, right?
So the format is going to change dramatically. Or not the format, but the cards are going to change for the Premier format, which is constructed decks. All the other cards, as long as they're legal, should be legal for Trilogy, I think, and Twin Suns, the other game formats. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, your cards are not, you don't burn them anymore. You could still have them, right? But anyway, we're rotating. So there's going to be brand new strategies that need to evolve. And we mentioned it just a few moments ago. People are already starting to like practice and learn and try to reorganize their decks and mindsets in a post-rotation world, which I think is also is being like really well received by the community. Like we've been craving it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a roundtable. What are your initial before we get into like mechanics and stuff like that? What are your initial thoughts about rotation? Like, do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you think it's necessary? We'll start with you. We just talked about both Rob in your segment. So Corey, what do you think?
Well, if a TCG is going to survive, it has to have some sort of rotation because otherwise, your cards are going to be obsolete or too powerful. There's different combinations that can happen. And so things are going to break because new mechanics come in, new keywords come in. And so you need to have that rotation to keep things fresh as well. So I do think it's a good thing. You know, will it be a good thing here? We're going to find out, but I am excited for it myself.
Yeah, very much agree.
You know what? Which I think what I heard, and I don't know about this is true, but like Yu-Gi-Oh! As a card game, as a comparison, I'm trying to compare.
Yeah.
They actually don't do set rotations, unlike other card games. Like I think they have a limited list of some sort, like a fan list, but like they actually don't rotate. So, but that game's been going on forever.
The thing is the health of the game, right? And I don't think Yu-Gi-Oh is a healthy game. So,
All right. So, okay, that's fair. I have no idea. So, interesting. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a few ex-Yu-Gi-Oh players that we know, you can ask them about it. I'm pretty sure they're gonna say something similar.
It's kind of wild to me that Yu-Gi-Oh has never rotated anything, and it's interesting because I guess that's one way to do it. You just accept that, like, in some ways that the game is just completely cracked in some ways. And you're just like, okay, what is the most bananas thing I can put together? And that's what I'm going to do. I mean, in some ways, like, that's kind of what Commander to me a little bit in Magic is, right? Where it's just like, because you have access to every set, it's because it's all singletons, right? There's certain things that are restricted. There's certain things that are not there, but like you can just create these bananas combinations. It's like, well, if I pull this from this set and this from this set and this from this third set and this one that was printed 20 years later, it, you know, creates an infinite combo and I win the game. And like, there's something exciting about that. And I think, you know, but like, again, that's sort of where your legacy formats or
Twin Suns.
Your Eternal formats, right? Like that's where that's appropriate. But if you're talking about like a purely competitive space, you need to rotate. Because to your point earlier, Corey, like eventually you're going to get to the point where like developers, you're developing 250 cards or more a set. You're 8 sets deep and you're going to forget about that one random common card that you printed that absolutely breaks, you know, this other card. And if you just can't have the two of those things exist in, the same space, then, you know, you're just going to have a game that's not going to be healthy. And in this case,
and I think the designers too are, it challenges them to create cards and mechanics that will keep things fresh as well. Where, before you're almost restricted more and more, with what you can do if you're not rotating.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. But also in terms of restricting the glass half full side, is that there are going to be so many, and we talked about this starting the collection segment, there are going to be so many more opportunities for growth for decks that you, like, maybe they were pet decks, but now can potentially be, like, meta. Like, could be, like, really good. So, and what comes to mind for me specifically, and you've probably already seen, is Pilots. Like, Kaz, Rio Durant, Luke Skywalker, Lando, because you can ramp now, like old, like Pilot Lando.
$1,000 Ventress.
You, dude, I mean, Ventress, yeah, whatever. Like, all these leaders, like, the only way to, like, really remove them, or not the only way, but, like, in overarching in terms of, like, their upgrades, to remove them are, like, in red, specifically. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and do you think, and is it going to be worth it for a red player to, like, always have like a droid, like the droids, like in their main deck? I don't even know. It's like you're probably gonna win game one. You know what I mean? I don't know. Do you think? I don't. Do you guys agree with me? Like,
I think there's definitely gonna be a spike in things, especially with those leaders, because they are gonna be the longest running leaders that we've played with. Right? They're the oldest leaders that we had and have the most. Yeah. We have the most experience with. So going to your point with being familiar with certain leaders and going to what you know, I think that will contribute to some. Boom in pilot decks. But I do think with rotation, what you want to look out for is the powerful cards from these previous sets that are sticking around that are going to, be there for you still and continue to dominate or become better. Like, what are those cards that are now kind of been hamstrung because there's this other card that's better at doing what it's doing? How are these cards going to come up and affect the different decks, right?
Yeah, I think... to add to that, like, any big unit, like, on the stream today, at the FFG stream, like, the Director Krennic unit, Sentinel, actually seems really good.
That boy. He's my boy.
Rob, I know you want to talk about that. That's all. I'm giving you the layup, bro. So, like, let's see how you talk about that.
Well, I think he's just wild. Like, so, when he came out, there was a lot of kind of like, when you cracked him out of this set and you're just like, oh man, this is kind of like a dead card. It feels pretty bad, right? Like, I think we even rated him like when we did pretty the tier list of legendaries. Yeah. He was like an F, I'm pretty sure, or D maybe. But I think post rotation, because like here's the big thing. Like, there's two factors here. One, a lot of single target removal is going away. There is still some. It's not, it's not completely gone. But it is much more expensive. It's happening later. So now, in order for you to kind
of
do those
damage base too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he's got a huge butt. He's an 8-10, right.
How can you tell that he has a huge butt behind the cape?
Oh yeah, well, God. When he turns around and he just kind of does one of these.
Sorry, go ahead.
Great radio. You can see me shaking my butt, guys.
The cape around as he spins to walk away.
but in seriousness, so it's he's really, really a big unit. Now here's the other factor. So we talked about this a little bit, or I was hinting at a little bit, like, so we've got some pretty crazy, what I'll call super ramp cards coming up. And then Krennic leader himself is giving out ways to ramp. It's not true ramp. It's not ramp like units, permanent ramp, but credits are now allowing you to play things bigger things earlier. And it's kind of funny because Gil and I had a conversation this past week and we're like, oh, do you think they're really, are they going to be pushing ramp, harder? Do we think they're speeding up the game? And initially my reaction was no. And then we saw Max Rebo drop. We saw, Stockpile drop. Yeah. And like all these, and then on top of all the credits, like, we're in like super ramp territory, guys. Like, you're going to be dropping Krennic on turn four.
I think I mentioned it before. Like, I have played Krennic. I've actually played him live in person and the player, because I play in Palpatine Yellow, and he's actually a pretty good card to have late game in some decks. And I play him, and the guy's like, whoa, who's playing this card? So I think he'll see more play.
I think
later.
One thing we have, so Krennic, right? So big body, a really beefy unit, really powerful unit, comes down early. And I think in thematic, like, if we think of overarching strategy for rotation, right, there is very much more limited ways of removing those big bodies from the game. You're losing Waylay. You're losing Power of the Dark Side. You're losing Fel the Dragon. You're losing Rival Spall. You're losing Force Choke, right? You're losing a lot of these, like, cards that... Open Fire. You're losing a lot of these cards that Snoke, whatever. Like, you're dealing with Avenger. You're just losing all these cards that would just remove things. And in turn, the removal that we have that are like big themes, like Beguile, you can't get rid. It's like a less powerful Waylay, but more fair. you know. Uh-huh. But what Beguile does is you get to see your opponent's hand, and then if it's like a six or less, you return the unit that to the person's hand, which is powerful because you get knowledge and stuff. But you can't get rid of Krennic. And the other big removal that we have that's actively proactive, not like retaliation, is like Shatterpoint. But they have to have force, right, to do it first. And they have the whole, and hopefully they have like the Shatterpoint in hand. You know what I mean? Yep. Like you, mm-hmm, like how are you going to get rid of things? You know,
no glory, or sticking
no good
around,
to be dead, or no, not going to be dead. No glory, only results. But again, that's 5 cost,
and it's worse.
Yep,
but that's 7.
Yep.
Who's like, playing? Who's just, play, is,
you, we will be playing It's Worse, Gil. It's going to be happening.
Do we think It's Worse is good?
Well, what is that? Precarious. What's the other one, right, that you play? And then you can play It's
the
Worse.
The Tragedy of Darth Plagueis.
Precarious Predicament or something?
Oh, Precarious. The one that lets you play it for free.
Yeah. Right?
So who knows? We might see some of that now because we're forced into these, like, you know, funnels here with certain cards. Like, I don't have my removal. It's time to bring out cards we don't use, right? That's what we were talking about earlier. It's like, what cards are coming out now because we lose Rivals Fall, we lose Fell the Dragon and Takedown. And
again, I think we're going to see an uptick in the play on Tragedy of Darth Plagueis, like, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
It's a single target removal card. Like, you know.
With an upside, too.
Yep. Yeah, there's an upside to it. There's just a lot of cards that we're not going to see, that we weren't going to see from previous sets that are now going to kind of come into vogue because we've removed all the things that were quote unquote better than it, you know, best in slot.
I mean, like eight cards, like, I don't even know, Bendu might be worth now because it's like you get to play it early. It's like a 10, like what, 9/9 or 10/10, and just does damage 10/10. All ground units. Like if they have a go wide spy strategy, just like a play it on like round 5, you got the right ramp, and then just hopefully you just start dominating the game because you can't just like get rid of it. I don't know. I'm excited. Like this is wild. It's gonna be wild.
We mentioned him earlier, but like Max Rebo with the double reboot phase. We saw that on stream. I recommend you guys checking out the FFG stream. But we got to see Jack play Max Rebo and his band as well. Those two cards. So Max Rebo's 2/7, I believe, 4 cost, 3 cost. What is he, Kelly?
He's
got
4
it
cost.
There?
He's 4
Max,
cost.
No, Max Rebo is a 4 cost, 2/7 underworld musician. A musician trait, which is
that's the first time we're
very
seeing that too, I think, right?
Fascinating. Yeah. I hope in Homeworlds, the next set they have musician like synergy, because Homeworld seems like you know, like that just seems like fun.
Yeah, and like, it's like you're bringing in a new trait. You can't not have more of it later on, right?
Yeah.
But his whole thing is like double regroup. Like that is the nuts. You get to see it in action. So you're drawing 2 cards. You're resourcing a card. You're readying. You're drawing 2 cards. You're resourcing a card, and you're readying. So it's like, you're going from turn like 4 resource play, and if with Krennic you get it out early, you're going from 4 to 6 resources.
Yeah. And then you have credits to, so you can play like the ramp card and still have credits to play a unit.
And you're essentially skipping your opponent's leader flip, right? Because if their leader flip is 5, you're skipping that flip. You're getting to your flip around the same time they're flipping.
Yep.
So that card is nuts.
You know what I'm gonna say? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and the other thing that's nuts is that they stack. So if you play 2 of them, you have 3 regroup phases. So if your opponent plays 1 and you play 1, now you have 3 regroup phases, and you go from 4 resources to whatever it is, 8 resources.
And you know, I don't think we have a lot of hand Tate. Spark of Rebellion is going away, right?
No. Yep.
Bodhi Rook is going away.
Yep.
Pillage, I think, is going away too.
Pillage is going away.
Yeah, the Shadows card. What else? Like a lot of these force throws no longer play.
Bazine is going away.
Yeah, Bazine. Well, yeah, Garindan. But Garindan is like better than Bazine, I think.
Well,
because
you have to guess though. So if you have Beguile first, then you can. It's easy, but like, have to guess.
It's definitely have to time it better. But like the fact is, you don't get a card.
Yeah.
You don't get a card back. Bazine, you can get a card back in return, so you're not really losing. I mean, you might get bricked, but like you're not losing card hand advantage. Whereas like Garindan is just like there. And if you know his hand, it's if you know the opponent's hand, it's crazy.
I guess Chopper's got hand hate, but hurt it yourself. So if you don't have a way to bring it back, that's not good. Ahsoka, we said Ahsoka, right? Ahsoka's still there. Legends of Force one.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's a good one. But even then, it's like, again, not, it's like your opponent's choosing, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like you just like forcing it, like get rid of hand hate. There's a lot of discard, which is weird. Well, not weird, but like interesting.
But it's like self-choice discard. Like so, it, you know, again, like we talk about Sebulba, right? Like, well, and what's interesting is like, so I didn't want to go into the mechanics there, but we've got, so today we got Sebulba, we got triple zero and BT1. I can never remember the other one, the R2 droid that is Aphra's evil R2-D2. The three of these cards together really play well together because BT lets you get rid of, I think forces you to discard and then you can deal damage to a unit. And then triple zero lets you take one of those red cards from your discard pile and put it onto the bottom of your deck and deal damage to a base. And then Sebulba is going to be chucking cards out of your deck. Like, so, and we've gotten some cards that will interface with this. And I think that's really, 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 really intriguing. You know, we got Aphra in set three. And she had this, like, she had that discard bill. And we were always hoping that there was going to be some, like, you know, to use the magic term, graveyard support, right? And we never really got it. We only got, like, you know, we got Palp's Return and we got Salvage. And it was never quite enough to kind of get her engine going. But it looks like we're starting to see a little bit more of that top end of this deck. So I think, in this set. So I think, you know, things that, you know, will give you advantages when either played from discard or you know, get you things into discard. Like, so that's why, for example, Trench, to your earlier point when we were talking about showcases, Gil, you know, Trench is going to be discarding cards into your graveyard. You know, you run Trench blue now, just as a thought, and you can turn Anakin all the way on, because in the same way that Kylo lets you chuck cards, if you have just those one-off heroics that are kind of hanging out in your deck and you throw that, now Anakin is doing the -3/-3 twice. You know, just all these things that are kind of like starting to kind of take shape and really form a really good engine for this type of deck, which we haven't really seen in Swoo to date, I think is going to be really exciting, because this was actually my favorite style of deck to play 20 years ago, mind you. So this was forever ago.
So essentially, Star Wars is your first trade card game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's one thing that I saw earlier. So thinking about like post rotation and like just combinations, right? I'm trying to go through my head of like, what are the new combinations? Like, what makes sense? And something I saw on the stream was like, this is just like, which is great. This is why I like watching games sometimes, because it gives you ideas for things you might not have realized. Like, the Master Codebreaker card, which is it's a rare for this set. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-cost cunning card. It's a 1/4, so okay body. Underworld, fine. The first Gambit card you play each round costs 1 less, right? And when played, you get to search for a Gambit. So on the 3-cost turn, you could play this and then Faith in your friends and potentially have 3 units on the board. Like, if you did not do that play. Especially if you played Faith in your friends first, like turn one or whatever, and then you played this turn two, and then you play Faith in your friends again,
you could be 5 deep, like, on turn two.
Five units on the board, right? Or conversely, right? You don't. Let's say you know, which you're gonna have Faith in your friends, and then you pair it with red, for example. Trench Run is free. One Way Out, which is a Gambit card, attack with the unit gets +1 and gains overrun for this attack, and the defender loses all abilities, so loses Sentinel, loses Shield, whatever. Like, that's free to just do. You know what I mean? Like, and that's because those are Gambit cards. Like, these are just things that, like,
combinations are interesting. Like, on that stream too, Qui-Gon's Aether Sprite being able to double your when played ability, I think, and then he puts out 4 spies with Queen Amidala. That was a cool interaction. I was like, what the? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean,
some
like,
of these interactions are going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, even beyond that, like cards like Max Rebo, which his color combination, we didn't talk about this, his color combination is green-yellow, which outside of like Han 1 hasn't been like a super popular combination until very recently, is one that we're going to see, he's not green-yellow, he's blue-yellow. But blue-yellow is one that we haven't seen like a lot of.
Max Rebo is green-yellow.
Oh, he is green-yellow. Okay, so I thought he was blue-yellow. But he's green-yellow, which, again, Han 1, we've seen that. But outside of that, we really haven't seen it too much. So you're going to see some color combinations that start to pop up that maybe weren't as popular before. The blue-yellow one I'm thinking of is Finn. Right, so Finn, I'm pretty sure Finn was blue-yellow, right? So, like, there's going to be combinations of cards that, you know, because we want to play these triple aspect cards, and we don't want to have to pay the aspect penalties for them, you're going to start to see some interesting combinations of colors that maybe we haven't seen as popular before.
I think to kind of close out this conversation, because we're going to talk about rotation preparation a lot in the future, kind of closing it out, I think the overarching theme here is that there is so much room for innovation, I think, right now. Really experimenting, really playing decks that have off-aspect stuff in your deck is something worth exploring, right? Even the common bases for this set are all like 27 health, and they all have an epic action, which is the first time you've seen on a common base, or truly. These are not rare. And the epic action is play a card from your hand ignoring one of its aspect penalties, all of them except for heroism and villainy. That is exceedingly powerful to know that you can have like that lottery card in your hand that was like out of aspect. No one's going to expect what it is because they have no idea. And you just drop that bad boy on the table using your epic action, and that could potentially like really clinch games for you. Like, that's one of those things that, like, in exchange for 3 health, it's one of those things that like you really can experiment. It's going to be, we think the meta is wide now. The first couple of weeks, I think, of rotation, after rotation, it's going to be, like, hectic. People are going to be like,
wild.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be a lawless time. Truly a lawless time. And from that, we will have we will see the ashes of the Empire rise, all right? Until finally we settle back in our own home worlds. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just...
And we may see some icons along the way.
Hey, we might see some icons, as we pass the Twin Suns.
That's a whole other conversation, but yeah.
Dude, Twin Suns, we're gonna do a Twin Suns
post.
Not that cards are rotating out of Twin Suns, but we're gonna do 100%.
We each need to get a Twin Sun starter deck, and we gotta play some Twin Suns.
Yeah. Well, together, like us three, right?
Yeah,
yeah. We definitely. Mm-hmm. With just the three of us. Ooh, which by the way, random aside, because this has nothing to do with anything, but I was thinking of an idea because I was thinking about a pod racing format, because we were talking about people are disappointed, like not just about people disappointed, but like we want more like pilots and stuff like that and we thought that maybe at least on the Discords that like there's gonna be some more like pod racing format where every unit, ground unit, can be a pilot. But you just half the stats, and it attaches. Like that's the mechanic, right? So all vehicles are game. You half it. You play up to four. It's like a Twin Sun, but up to 8 players, right? And so you have to build your decks to like race and like almost like Twin Suns, like race to see who's gonna finish off whose deck, whose base first. And the idea is you have to defeat other units and other people on their pilots, on their pilot ships, so that like so you can stop them from winning. Kind of like Sebulba-esque. You just throw wrenches and stuff. But the only way to attack a base is you have to have a pilot. You have to have a flight unit, like a unit and like a pilot on it, or a vehicle and a pilot. Anyway, my random like idea, like building like a pod racing format that can expand to like 36 players, something like that.
Dude,
that would be nuts.
I just want to see a pod racing set. Like I feel like there's room for that like down the line where we'll get some cards like that. But like this is what's exciting about the future of SWU, I think, just in general, is like, once we get past sort of the iconic stuff, and we can start to delve into like these niches of the of the Star Wars universe. Like they could like Magic did Aetherdrift, right? And like that was just completely like, it's like a Magic the Gathering, the racing game, and they did all the mechanics around that. Like we could have like a full set that is just like the pod racing set.
Right. So, and speaking of racing, I'm gonna go race to go get dinner.
Oh, sounds good.
Thank you guys for your time today. Thank you all, everyone, for listening. If you are new to the podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends. We always like to have more friends. And until next time, may the force be with you.